This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
He brought back!
Oh my God.
Say there was a disturbance, but everything's under control. Say it, or I will kill you.
Without me, you got nobody to fly the plane.
I never think that far ahead.
All right, I'm doing it. Just take it easy. Carson City.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking.
I have the only gun on board. Welcome to Con Air.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin. We have an ecstatic week of content lined up for you. We have been incredibly happy watching a variety of things for your listening pleasure. And we're starting off today with a throwback to 1997's Con Air.
Can I say this week's really taking off? Can I say that? Oh, my goodness. You know, I haven't rewatched Con Air since it first came out, and that was in 97, right? And so, like, you know, you see clips, that scene of Nicolas Cage exiting the plane, for instance. There are things that I have in my mind. But this was the first proper rewatch of the whole thing. And what a ride it is. I mean, it's ridiculous. It makes no sense. But it's one of those so bad, it's so, so good kind of movies. I had so much fun rewatching this.
Not the scene of him and his hair, like, just flowing in the wind.
That's every other scene. There's wind even when they're in a plane. I don't know how this works.
When he kicks somebody, like a high kick, and that happens several times in jeans, I clapped. I applauded.
I think we should admit the truth to everyone listening that Con Air is the reason why we made the show. And now the show is finally complete. Like the last 2 years, we've not cared about any of those movies. It's all been leading up to Con Air. I love this movie. I cannot tell you how many times I've seen it. But every time I've seen it, I'm like, how is this movie so stupid, but also so good? And I think it's the perfect blend of that, right? It's stupidity plus, how did they make this work? Like, why are we so invested? But we are so, so invested.
So I've seen Con Air, I want to say, like 10 times. Admittedly, you know, like distributed over a long period of Nicolas Cage fandom.
I wanted to ask, like, in a week?
Right? But that's perfectly possible. That's the thing about Con Air. It's a very rewatchable film. Even though you know everything that's going to happen, it's a very tightly packed, under hour 50, in fact, kind of film. And it's just got the perfect runtime. The story is kind of moot in the sense that it's all leading up to being able to call the movie Con Air. We have Nicolas Cage as Cameron Poe, who is a man who was righteously defending his wife, found himself in jail as a U.S. Ranger.
Had a very bad lawyer, clearly.
Terrible lawyer. Mm-hmm. And is finally eligible for parole to see his wife, meet his child for the first time. But then he finds himself on the same transport as a bunch of really hardened criminals who themselves have a plan to hijack the plane.
Yeah, every freak and creep in the world ends up on this plane as I may quote a wise man. It's so, and like, we have to talk about what an amazing cast the film has, right? Because I think that's part of the pleasures of watching this film, watching a bunch of actually really good actors, of which even Nicolas Cage is one, but dialing it up to ridiculous 200%. And it's so much fun because you have John Malkovich, John Cusack, Steve Buscemi, Ving Rhames, Dave Chappelle, Danny Trejo, and all of them are amazing. Every single one of them, even the supporting actors who I don't necessarily recognize or remember, every one of them is crazy and I love it.
And I think that's one of the film's like biggest strengths, because it's not really a Nicolas Cage movie. They are like extended scenes where you don't see a lot of Nicolas Cage being the best of himself as Cameron Poe. And you don't exactly miss him when he's off screen, because you have a bunch of other characters going like to 11, like dialing it up, just like hamming up and chewing scenery, right, whenever you see them on screen. And I think that's a big deal for an action movie, because usually you'd have like one hero, one protagonist, and then you'd have the main bad guy and then a bunch of side characters. This is really like a team piece. Like, you have a bunch of people being really, really good at what they do, assembling this Con Air film, right? And then Nicolas Cage is just the guy who is billed first. Like, he is the hero, but he's not exactly the main character at all.
So we haven't talked about John Cusack, because I was going to say that even on the side of the good guys, we've got more than one thing going. Again, you know, this is usually like a... like one main hero. But instead, John Cusack doesn't just get to be the wonk who's sitting behind a desk and like calling in helicopters or whatever. He's out there on the field for some reason, for some unknown reason. This US Marshal who arranged this flight is now like riding motorcycles through Vegas. Like,
in
that
very
happens.
Baggy clothes.
Yeah, sure.
Or driving tractors or other things. Like, he drives like at least three different vehicles.
Yes, he does. Despite at the start being introduced as like a bookish nerd,
a thesaurus.
You know, the guy in the seat kind of thing, you know, the guy in the chair. But I think that the beauty of Con Air is basically trying to amalgamate all the things that we're talking about. It is genuinely a really enjoyable action movie. The action set pieces are fantastic to watch. The premise of these hardened criminals being stuck in a metal tube, trying to escape, trying to like just shooting things willy-nilly, fantastic. But it's also, frankly, really dumb and really cheesy and very funny, both advertently and inadvertently. And all those things somehow combine to make it a total 1997 classic. Then you add Nicolas Cage and his weird choices.
I think also everyone in the movie realizes exactly how dumb and lame their lines are, and then like leans into it with so much glee and pleasure that all of it just comes across like... if one person didn't take the perfect note that their character required, I think this would all fall apart. But everyone gets it, right? Like, everyone has a sort of nudge, nudge, wink, wink performance. And all of that adds up to it just being great fun. The stakes are never so high that you actually care if someone were to die or explode or whatever. You kind of have the safety of knowing that the hero will win the day. The bad guys are so bad that you're happy to see all sorts of mayhem being, you know, wreaked on them. It really is like one of those broad strokes things that pushes at your pleasure centers, and I think you're quite happy to have it manipulate you so openly.
Do you think it was really like a nudge, nudge, wink, wink thing? Because I'm trying to think about what did this look like on paper when they were pitched this movie? You know what I mean? And it looks like a genuinely good, serious action movie. Like, let's say John Malkovich is reading the script. Do you think he knows that Cyrus the Virus is like a kooky character, or is he supposed to be like a legitimate threat to the world who's going to unleash like chaos and hijack his
plane? I don't think anyone could read those lines and think that it was... Okay, so either they're like, you're kidding, right? This is funny. Yeah. Or they're like, we're working with an idiot, but you know what? There's money in this and this could be fun.
I feel like they had fun. So I think regardless of anything else, right, like whether or not they knew, because that's one of those classic things. You also only know about it 20 or 30 years after in like the oral history articles that emerge about films, whether or not the actors themselves knew what they were doing. But I think that there is no denying that they had a lot of fun. You can see it in the ways that they interact with one another. You can see it with the ways that they interact with the strangeness that is happening at any given moment. And I also enjoy, I think that it's hard to imagine a script that is somehow simpler and also more convinced that the audience is not going to get it, because there are entire sequences where the slow speaking kind of, you know, are you bright, are you not, Cameron Poe explains things to, like, breaking sort of almost the fourth wall and going like, on any other day that might seem strange, or, you know, just going around telling us exactly what's happening in the film. I just love it so much. I find it hard to explain why. And I have a question for both of you, actually. If you're not a Nicolas Cage fan, is this movie unwatchable?
See, I don't think of myself as a Nicolas Cage
fan. But you are.
But every time I watch him in something, I realize I am. So I think if you're not into action, and if you're not into Nicolas Cage, yeah, this film will lose you. But if you're not a Cage fan, but if you love action, I still think that you'd go along for this.
I was going to say, like, this was, if you're not a fan, then this is the movie that converts you. Because it introduces you to his, like, madness. You're looking at him and going, like, what is going on? Like, who allowed him to do that accent? And which producer...
and what accent in the first place?
What accent is it?
What is it?
What is it? And which producer wasn't brave enough to tell him, like, stop? Like, you know, you really need to tone it down. So someone just let him go and allow the audience to absorb all of this. So I'm guessing, like, if you didn't know about Nicolas Cage's craziness, this would be the movie to go like, yeah, this is him. Like, you know, this is what you're getting for decades after this.
Because the thing is, right, Con Air has been critically reassessed, shall I say, over, you know, over a period of time. When it first came out in 97, I think that it was not exactly critically loved, and it was compared unfavorably, understandably, to The Rock, which is actually a very much superior film. So I think that there was that comparison. They came out in very close proximity. But over the years, I think it is the Put the Bunny, et cetera, and the Cyrus, the virusness of it all, the Steve Buscemi, whom we haven't even talked about. Like, it's all of that. Plus, Nicolas Cage making strange, like, blips and breakdowns in the middle of a performance that have rendered it like a cult status. And that's actually something that happens with Nicolas Cage, specifically in Nicolas Cage films a lot, which is why I bring him up.
No, and Con Air, I think, is the film that showed that marked pivot, right? From Oscar-winning actor who was trying to find his place in Hollywood. Don't laugh. The man has an Oscar.
And it's a well-deserved Oscar, too.
It is. Yeah. And I go back to Nicolas Cage, like John Malkovich, actually is a very good actor. Doesn't always get the best projects. But I was going to say, but Con Air, though, I think created the mold for what was to come, for all the multiple, like, crazy action adventures that have these caricaturish performances and yet are somehow deeply enjoyable no matter how B or C grade they are. And that's why I think, looking back, Con Air feels a lot more iconic than it was when it first came out.
Also, I think if you sell this as a comedy action film, people will buy into it more because it is very funny. There are a lot of beats in this movie that are genuinely very, very funny. And there are lines that are so insane and just off the charts that you won't know how to digest them. So I think if you said, yeah, this is it's a funny action movie, it's more digestible.
We're talking today about Con Air ahead of Top Gun Maverick tomorrow. We thought we would just tie it in with another plane-based movie, apparently. But yeah, Con Air came out in 1997. Are you, like me, a repeat viewer? Do you enjoy the madness and wonder that is Con Air? WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Put the bunny back in the box.
I knew you was a punk. You've been playing us all along.
I said, put the bunny back in the box.
Die, punk!
Why couldn't you put the bunny back in the box?
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvind, just raring to go. Engines and wheels up, etc. Are your seatbelts on? Because we are going to continue talking about Con Air. So, Arvind, you ended our last segment by talking about how it's kind of almost an action comedy. Mm-hmm. And I think that that has so much to do with the supporting cast. I mean, I'm not sure Nicolas Cage knows he's being funny, but I think that everyone else, you've got, weirdly, Dave Chappelle, you've got Steve Buscemi, you've really got John Malkovich doing the most. You've got John Cusack being snarky, you've got Cole Meany playing like this really dumb, bullheaded character, and all of them are incredibly funny. Like that's actually where the laughs rack up, at least where the movie wants you to. The others are, you know, accidental Nicolas Cage laughter.
And that's very Jerry Bruckheimer. Right? I mean, whether you've generally enjoyed his brand of action, the Jerry Bruckheimer formula for action always includes humor. And I think that has a lot to do with why you're willing to sit through. I like action movies, but I don't like action movies that take themselves too seriously. And I think the let's not take any of this seriously is one of the best things about Bruckheimer films. And this film has it in spades.
I think the consistency of Con Air is its biggest weapon. Because when the opening 10 minutes... The consistency air. So when the opening 10 minutes, you watch the movie and you're like, this makes no sense. Like, this is bad acting, bad performance. It's just all... It's the starting of a really bad film. And then the movie doubles down, and then it triples down, and then it quadruples down by the end of it. You're like, oh, there are a bunch of prisoners. Oh, there are more prisoners. Oh, they are like bad criminals. Oh, they are worse criminals now, like halfway through. And I think that that ability to have that amount of consistency and not pull back and not pull its punches is why the movie works. It's just Bruckheimer being Bruckheimer at his best.
So for a movie that's called Con Air, right? Three quarters of it's on the ground.
So yes. I didn't... Okay, so as a rewatcher, that surprised me. I don't know why in my mind I had memories of so much of it being in the air. And then I'm like, wait a minute, most of it's actually just in like some abandoned airstrip.
Mm. Abandoned airstrip. At a separate point, they actually stop to onboard more convicts, as yes. you mentioned. And like, and then later on, we've got the Vegas sequence. But the point is, a lot of it happens on the ground. This is no Air Force One that we're talking about.
Nope. Ground is what this film is.
Exactly. But that's part of the doubling down. It's like you have a character actually say the words Con Air in the film. And then you have the temerity to land the plane increasingly badly, several times over. And yet somehow the audience just goes along for the ride. And I'm worried that we're now starting to sound like we're doing a troll review, when in fact all three of us like really earnestly...
Genuinely.
I don't know if this is coming across. I hope it is, because we genuinely love the film.
I mean, I want to say this with like a straight face. That is amazing world building. You know, I'm not even making fun of the movie. I'm saying that if you want people to believe in your logic or the internal logic of a world, you have to double down, because otherwise people are just poking holes in it. Like, why did this happen? Or why did he go to jail? Or why are all criminals on a single plane? Like, what is the security measure?
With no security.
With no security. But then you have to like build your own internal logic, right? That's amazing world building for me.
No, and
for everyone.
No, that's true. And okay, I'm going to extend that world building, right? Because look, what's better than one plane that you can wreck? Another plane that you can wreck. And yes. what's better than that? A tractor. What's better than that? Helicopters. And then what's better? Cars and trucks.
Eventually
and
a city
that all explode. Multiple fiery explosions that Nicolas Cage can run out of with his hair in the wind. You gotta commit to this. If you do this halfway, you're going to seem like you're not taking it seriously.
So you know what I like about Con Air? aside from all the things that I've already said, we talked about this last week in our workplace supercut, which was a super fun show. If you haven't managed to catch it, actually, I would recommend the podcast. But one of the things that I talked about was how bothered I am by the eternal people like us who just die, who just perish because like planes crash through our buildings, or like Godzilla or aliens or what have you. The innocent folks just doing their 9-to-5 dying. And what I appreciate about Con Air is that they almost go out of their way to make it not about those people. In the sense that you also have like a city wrecking sequence. You also have like innocents who come across a criminal like airplane and then have to run off. But the movie kind of purposely shies away from showing you civilian death in a way that I thought was interesting. It's more interested in blowing up the strip than it is in saying, look at the people, look at the arms, look at this. And then, you know, none of the characters later on have to reckon with their choices because of the internal logic of the film.
You're right. And actually, for a film that's about hardened, violent criminals, the violence largely occurs only within themselves.
Or somewhat off-screen, in fact.
Yeah, off-screen. Mm. Or even the people who do end up getting killed, guards and so on, are not necessarily painted as nice people or people that you care about. They're very faceless. And so, yeah, I think this film has a fairly strong internal logic in terms of what it wants violence and all these explosions to do. And it's not meant to be about death per se. It's actually meant to be, oh my God, I'm thinking about this now. It uses explosions and violence and all of this mayhem the way Quentin Tarantino uses blood and gore in like Kill Bill, right? As a canvas, as tools rather than anything actually logical.
Or meaningful.
Meaningful, yeah. I cannot believe I just made a connection between Jerry Bruckheimer and Tarantino.
I mean, the movie even makes fun of itself, right? At one point, it goes like, you know, if we had done the thing, I don't know if we can spoil it, but if we had done the thing at one point in the movie, we would have saved a lot of chaos from another point in the movie. And it sort of references itself, like, you know, we should have taken the shot.
And then they laugh.
Yes.
And then they laugh. Yeah. Yes. So they say
after
that.
After the destruction of a city.
Yes, they say that and then they both go,
And they bond.
And they bond. And like, but that is the internal logic of Con Air. And I appreciate it, partly because I don't, I think in this day and age of the third act always being about our world, always being about innocent lives, an orphanage, you know, like that kind of thing, always trying to force emotional resonance into an action sequence, because I assume that's what they think we want. Mm. I appreciate the fact that this one has no qualms. Doesn't matter. Like, there are no consequences. You are going to watch helicopters crash. You are going to watch, you know, huge explosions, like mass slaughter in some instances, but none of it is going to count for anything and none of it is going to stay with you. And I don't know what kind of argument I'm making, except that I think I miss this sort of action movie.
That is exactly what I was going to say. Rewatching this, I miss this sort of action movie. I miss going to the cinema to watch this kind of action movie. Mm. And a Fast 25 is not the same. And I don't know how to tell you why it's not the same.
It's not the same length.
It's not the same
yeah,
length.
I think that's important.
It's also not earnest in the way something like Con Air is. You know, by Fast 6, 7, 8, you can tell that it's a cash grab. Sure, it has its audience, but they're not being sincere about the story they're telling. Whereas something like Con Air, there's a sort of like...
What's going on with you?
I know. There's a gutsy earnestness to everything that I feel like they truly want to entertain us and not just take our money.
I mean, even in all that stuff that they are doing, right, I love how they try to shove like social commentary into the story.
Yes, like the prison system.
The prison system, and what are the experiences of an African-American prisoner inside this system, and they don't get the same rights as, like, let's say, a white prisoner. And I was like, yeah, you don't have to. Like, you know, it's fine. It's cute. It's cute that they tried, but I'm like, no, just do what you
also
do.
Also, how to treat women, don't forget.
Yeah. Yes, that too. Mm, so there's a lot of social commentary going on.
Love it. Love it. I think that this is exactly the movie that Cameron Poe would want made about his exploits. So it just makes sense to me. It feels like a movie made by Cameron Poe, despite the fact that it was, in fact, I realize we've come this far, we Bruckheimered this, we Nicolas Cage that. It was directed by Simon West, you guys. We have not actually mentioned the director's name, which I think is perhaps a bit telling. We've been talking today about Con Air from 1997, ahead of Top Gun Maverick tomorrow. Let us know, have you watched Con Air ever? Have you rewatched it? Is it a film you enjoy? WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio and write to us at movies@bfm.my.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.